What's good, family? Welcome to a Modern Hoops podcast, a show with the freshest opinions and views on the world's most beautiful game. I'm your host, Greg, and I'm here with the homies, the squad, the best starting five, missing the homie Leak in the league, TK, Brian, Dunkman, Keith. Boys, how we feeling?
Feeling good. I'm glad to be back, man. Once again, another absence. AU season rocking and rolling.
Welcome back.
Feel good to be back. It's playoff basketball. It looks good. I'm loving the energy. Fans back in the arenas. It look great. I got my SoFi poetry competition coming up. Shout out to my SoFi fam. Some of y'all watching well. That's not shameless plug. No, like, I got SoFi fam that watches the pod. So I was saying, though, like.
All right, fair. It's
like, yo, shout out to the fans. See y'all soon.
It's still plugging. Like,
still a plug.
Still a plug.
I'm not even promoting myself. I was just saying I have a competition coming up. That's all I said.
Last 45 seconds, we've been talking about Brian's competition, but he's not promoting.
That's because y'all went off on it. Like,
he knew what kind of reaction.
That was the last thing I was going to say.
He knew what he was getting himself into.
I'm done.
He knew what he was getting himself into. Tamon, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm really, really good. The school year's almost over.
Mm-hmm.
Thank the Lord.
14 days.
Shameless plug to school.
No, I'm not plugging the schools. No. Not plugging any of these schools. No. Nada.
Oh, man.
But summer's approaching. I don't know. I'm feeling all right.
That's good. Keith, how we living, bro?
I'm cool.
Cool.
Yeah, just cool.
He is more than cool, but I can't speak on it. He living, man. This man living his best life, y'all.
Semi,
I can't even.
My best life, you know, getting
pre-best life.
Okay.
We one tier away.
Two tiers.
I respect that. I'm three.
You three tiers?
Three tiers.
I'm like Sim.
How many tiers?
I was gonna say three.
I don't know how many tiers there are, but I'm still seven.
I think you're more than seven.
Jeez.
Less than seven. You're right. That's the wrong way.
I was about to say, you said more.
That was aggressive.
Come on. I was like, your life is worse than what you think it is.
I didn't come here for this.
Not to be badgered by the homies.
I miss y'all, man.
Man, what's good, man? We appreciate everyone who's on the pod, listening, watching, whether you're listening on SoundCloud, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, you name it. We appreciate you. Be sure to hit that like button. Rate the pod 5 stars. We appreciate that. 4, I accept. 3, just don't rate at all. Don't do that at all. Leave us alone. If you ain't, my mama say you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
Don't say nothing.
So say something nice or just be quiet. So we appreciate y'all. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, show love, like, leave a comment below, join the conversation. We appreciate the comments. Shout out to that boy Ben Upchurch.
Shout out to Ben.
Or
Benjamin. I don't know if you like going by Ben.
Yeah, fair. For sure.
He'll let us know now.
Yeah. everyone who has purchased a shirt thus far in order to give back to Too Many, thank you. That big help. We are doing something really, really great so far, and we appreciate all the support. Yes. You still have time. Yes. You still have time.
What's the closing date?
June 6th. Shirts are $25. Right. Majority of the proceeds go to Too Many, an organization that helps out teens, 11 to 14?
That's for their summer program. But,
okay. Mm-hmm. So teens throughout the year.
Everybody.
So we're, shout out to them, man. Really, really great people. And we just appreciate y'all. So if y'all want to buy a shirt, y'all know what to do. Go to Modern Hoops on Twitter or Hoops Modern Pod on Instagram. DM us, get the details, and then Cash App at what, Modern Hoops?
Yes, sir.
Modern Hoops. And that was
a lot.
Yeah.
That was professional.
That's why I let you
go. I kind of cooked that.
I was like,
yeah,
you go.
All right.
Good, bro.
It started so heartfelt and, you know, like a quality plug. Mm. And then you just hyped yourself up at the end.
Because you, look, I don't got a teleprompter like ABC, NBC, ESPN. It's off the top, off the dome. I'm freestyling.
I get it.
It's impressive.
You've always been able to freestyle, so I'm not impressed.
Yeah, right. Like,
a lot of people don't know that. So we need to leave that in the tuck.
We do though.
Exactly.
This room does.
But we appreciate everyone, man. Let's get going.
Let's get it.
NBA playoffs have started.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis beat Golden State, so they became the 8th seed.
Yes, sir.
And I've been impressed with a lot of these series for the most part. But my question to everyone here is, what's been your favorite series of round one so far?
It's a battle between Knicks Hawks,
mm-hmm.
because there's like this brewing rivalry that's happening. The fans are the fans, as disgusting as they are at times.
Mm-hmm.
But that added to a sense of, you know, the rivalry where Trey can look over at Spike Lee. Like, you know what I mean? We haven't seen mm-hmm. that in a while where we got that kind of atmosphere.
The energy's in the building.
Very much so.
You've heard it all the time. Basketball is better when the Knicks are winning.
Yes.
When the Knicks are bad, that doesn't mean basketball's bad. It's just not as good as it could be.
Right.
So that's probably been my favorite series. Or Utah versus Memphis.
Okay. And Utah versus Memphis, as to why?
It's just been such a battle. At first, it wasn't going to be because Donovan didn't play game one.
Right.
So I was really, it became an interesting series. How long does Donovan sit? Does he sit another game?
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of questions start coming up. So then I was like, well, if Donovan sits another game, who knows? Ja can get up 2-0 on Utah. So now we have, by the time Donovan comes back, the eighth seed is up 2-0. Right. So like now you have some work, but Donovan came back and he showed us why he's Donovan Mitchell, mm-hmm. and Ja showed us why he's Ja Morant, and it has just been a back and forth battle between. It's not even like David versus Goliath because Utah doesn't feel like a monster number one seed,
mm-hmm.
but that's how crazy it is where you have like micro veterans. Donovan Mitchell, this is, what, his fourth year in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is Ja's first, but it's like Donovan has, like, no, I've battled in the first round before. Mm-hmm. Like, I've sent Hall of Famers home already. So
right.
He's already has that badge of honor where it's like, nah,
he's proven.
Working way past his first round stuff now.
Right.
And while Ja's like, nah, we had to battle for it last year, missed it, and now we battle for it this year, got it off a play-in and stole game one.
Yeah.
So it's some hype surrounded by it when you have two kind of dominant guards where they're not going to back down.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, they're not going to back down. So I love it. I love it.
I appreciate both those series. I appreciate the Memphis and Utah series because Ja Morant finally gets praise that he's been lacking due to the fact that he's in a small market. We hyped up Zion all season. We've hyped up LaMelo Ball all season. And, I mean, rightfully so in certain places because LaMelo didn't play bad at all. He is presumptively the rookie of the year, at least from what I've read.
Seems like he's leaning that way.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards made a strong push at the end.
Yeah, it's going to go. It's not going to be unanimous, but it's going to
go. From all reports, it's saying that he's still the front runner. Mm-hmm. So, presumptively, I'm just making an assumption that he will win rookie of the year. But we've talked about him, like, even when he wasn't playing, they found a way to talk about him.
But Ja Morant was carrying a franchise on his back.
And Jaren Jackson's been out for a good period.
A good period.
Including
last year. That was part of the thing.
I think Dylan Brooks missed a few games this season, if I'm correct.
So here's the thing. Like, I'm not going to go with Ja carrying Memphis. I think Memphis has actually been a very decent team all year.
Mm-hmm.
Josh is, like, he's easily the best player on the team. But, like, that Memphis team is quiet as kept. Pretty deep and pretty good.
They're pretty good. But it's more of the, when I say carry, it's more of a, we're not sniffing the playoffs without me on this team. And when I'm on the floor, we're going through me. So when we have performances like we saw in game two where I can go for 47 points and we still lose.
Right.
It's like, I'm not saying y'all are scrubs, but we go as far as I take y'all.
I feel you.
And because of that, game because of, and turned both games. He didn't play bad either games.
Not at all. Played really well the first game.
Dylan Brooks is showing up. Shout out to Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks is, as long as he can just stop fouling so much. That's it.
I think that's a part of him. I think that's just a part of his
game.
It is.
He's got to live with it.
Some games he's gonna foul out, and some games he's gonna get.
He'll go like 9-for-11, have like 19 points, but 6 fouls.
Yeah.
6 of them.
That's
I couldn't use him in the last 4 minutes of the game. Dylan, you pretty just much. gotta at least time your fouls right.
It's rough for him because that's a part of his edge. It is, but yeah. Memphis, man, they've been so impressive, and John Morant is finally getting his due. Mm-hmm. He's making himself felt, because even on plays where he's getting met at the rim by Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's challenging him like that.
Rudy Gobert has to, I mean, that's not an easy block.
It's not an easy block. Rudy Gobert's the defensive player of the year. He's going to do that. Like, the fact that, like I said, Ja is actually trying, which we've seen him do a number of times.
On everybody.
Like, he has no fear going to the rim.
And he keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Like, he keeps coming back. So it's like he has this team, which is probably one of the better defensive teams. What, top five? If I'm correct? What, top Memphis? Five defensive rating this season? At least top 10. I know.
Utah?
Oh, no. Utah, I believe, if they're not number one, they're number two.
So, the top five defensive rating team, you got the defensive player of the year.
Number four, I'm sorry.
And he constantly has them on the heels the entire time. And that's impressive, especially when you're dealing with a young team. Look at Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson, Grayson Allen.
Desmond Baines is really good.
Slow-mo, the lone vet showing up. Like, I love Kyle. Shout out to Slow-mo, man. Like, got that shot down. He looks like a point forward again.
It's a slow pace. The slow break. Oh, my God.
He had six steals one game? I think the second game he had, what, four?
What, against Utah?
Utah. He had four in game two, six in game one. Am I correct? Yeah. He gets one, tips it up, goes full court with it, and then he rises. I'm like, bro, I've never seen you jump like this.
Bro, his arms are like mad long. Like, people don't realize
like
that.
He got up for that. I was like, I like what I'm seeing out of Memphis. And so they are a team that is giving me grit and grind vibes again.
I think
that's what matters. They give me grit and grind vibes. I don't know if it's not the same.
Okay.
Not the same.
When you say vibes, you mean it's like new age.
They're not scared to go at anybody. I've seen it a couple of times.
I'm not saying they are grit and grind.
Okay.
But they're giving me the vibe.
The vibe. Because there's like no fear in them in the young guys. Like, we saw the way that they carry the Iguodala situation. And then even like when Steph chimed in, we saw Ja Morant posted the KD memes and stuff to go at. Like, you're going at a finals champion using the finals MVP. You have to see him on the court. And you beat him in a play-in game. So, like, he backs into stuff that he's actually says. So, like, he speaks his mind, and it seems like every time he does speak, it's something real.
Mm. Right.
Like, it's a...
Like, they believe what they're saying.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They believe what they're saying, and then going out the court, and they're not shying away from these moments. And because of that, they get low on defense, they attacking, they're being gritty. That's a grit and grind vibe.
I can go with that.
Are they what grit and grind was? No, they're not Z-Bo. They're not Tony Allen. Dylan Brooks is giving me some Tony Allen-esque vibes in terms of being on defense, but if he stops fouling a little bit, he'll be him again.
So the vibe I get from that, I made this, I think when we did the reaction video, I can't remember who we did it to. I think it was, it might have been LaMelo. It was MPJ when we did the reaction video to MPJ. Mm-hmm. And I said, Memphis to me gives me this, when I watch Ja and I watch Jaren Jackson, they give me this grittier 7 seconds or less vibe. Like, it's Ja Morant being this Steve Nash, Russell Westbrook hybrid, where it's like, you just know he's coming downhill at you the entire game, but he's controlling the pace. Mm-hmm. He's making the right decisions. The court is spread out. Jaren Jackson's a pick and pop big who can dive. You got shooters spread around him, and Dylan Brooks, Desmond Baines, who are gritty on the wings, who are going to defend. So I just, when I think play style, that's what I think of. But I get what y'all saying. Like, they have that type of grit and grind mentality of like, yeah, we're just going at y'all neck. Whatever happens, happens. But we're going to be here regardless.
Right.
So I get that.
Your favorite series so far?
The petty in me wants to say one thing.
I mean, if that's your series, that's your series. I'm not mad at you.
No, honestly, my favorite series so far has been Denver-Portland.
Okay.
It's just interesting watching these two teams who are so different and their superstars trying to counter each other. Portland has no answer for Jokic at all. Like,
I know one thing they can stop doing. I keep Canner off of that.
I mean, they did. Like, they aren't playing Canner anymore. Like, Canner can't get on the floor. Nurkic fouled out, and they were like, you know what? We'll just deal with Covington on him. Like, that's the. It is what it is.
Canner out the game with that.
But, like, So watching Portland trying to figure that out, and then watching the Nuggets, like, they're literally scraping together, just trying to hold on and fight off against Portland. Portland should be the favorites in this series.
I agree.
By a decent margin, if we're going to be honest.
So I picked them in, what, 7?
You did.
Like, Portland, Denver doesn't have their starting backcourt. Like, they don't have a starting backcourt. They're out there with Austin Rivers and Capazzo.
Right.
And it's like.
And they just picked up Austin Rivers.
He was hooping.
At home.
He was hooping. He looked.
My man was at home.
He looked like Winter Park Austin last night. Like, he really did.
He did the jab. I was like, oh my God, he's back.
I haven't seen that since high school. Like, right. Bruh. So, like.
Because it ain't work since high school.
Facts.
No, you're right.
So.
But shout out Austin Rivers. I'm hating a little bit, but.
He did it a couple times at Duke.
He ain't going nowhere.
He did it on UNC at Duke.
They were like, you're not going nowhere with this jab.
Yeah, that's not.
So, like, I feel like. And it's weird. Like, I'm watching a lot of these playoff series. And I feel like I'm just watching. And maybe we'll get to this maybe a little bit later. I feel like I'm literally watching the end of an era a little bit with these young guys who are coming up.
And don't care about
and
the
don't,
older guys.
And they have no fear.
I called it a couple years ago with D-Mitch.
They just don't care.
They don't care.
So it's like I'm watching Portland. If Portland loses the series, it's over. It's over.
We've said that about Portland.
We have.
How many years
in a row? Seriously, if they don't blow it up, what's the point anymore?
The point for Portland right now is complete loyalty. Like, they're just going down with the Dame.
I think they're
CJ
just married
shit.
To Dame.
I think they're married to both of them. I think they made
yeah,
because
Dame's married to CJ. Like, Dame doesn't want CJ to go. So they're just, like, they're stuck together. But, like, if I'm Portland, like, honestly, like, why? I get it, loyalty, yeah, that's great. But, like, we're a first-round exit to a team that doesn't have a starting backcourt.
I think Portland gets so unlucky a lot of the time.
There's nothing unlucky
that now,
about this to me.
No. That's what I'm saying. This is their, like, hey, we got a star.
The cards
he's not getting hurt.
We gotta,
he's playing
they're
in a
healthy.
Playoffs.
You got two 20-point scorers flanking them.
Hey, look, all I'm trying to say is I think they're appreciative of the time that they've had with Dame and CJ, and they don't want to try to bite off something that they can't chew. Like,
they
you don't
so
you don't want
to before that it's hard for them to be like, we got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because they know they cut it too close.
They were praying for this. They were like, we'll do anything for a first round exit. Well, now it's here. And now you just want to go back to being a lottery team. Yeah. That's hard, man.
This is tough. This is tough for Portland because I love CJ. Dame. Dumb bag. Mm-hmm. I say it all the time. Probably one of the most versatile small guards. Shoot, I ain't gonna play him like that. Guards in terms of scoring in the game.
He's got
like,
full package.
Full package in terms of scoring. But I thought about all the comparisons people have made from Dame to Steph to Dame. And I was like, we have constantly said that this backcourt, Dame and CJ, is a top 5 backcourt. Now, and I've heard people actually say that Dame and CJ is better than Klay and Steph.
Well, yeah, those people are tripping, but yeah.
I've heard those comments. And so I'm like, all right, if that's the case, then if they are a top 5 backcourt and they're not playing a top 5 backcourt, yeah, granted, the MVP is over there in Nikola Jokic. You will win MVP. He's not my MVP.
He'll win.
But I'm going to respect
him. I'm sorry. Nick Wright. Stop talking. I haven't been able to say this yet. Nick Wright, stop talking. Like, Nikola Jokic is the MVP. Let that go. Carry on.
I will respect the fact that he will win MVP. I think Steph Curry was the most valuable player by definition, but, you know, that's a whole other conversation for another day. We probably already had it. So, Dame and CJ shouldn't lose. And it's tough to watch because now people going to have to either make a decision on how good is Dame and CJ really as players and as a duo? And they're going to have to make a decision on how to really view Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And a lot of people haven't done that yet. A lot of people are sitting around still holding out, saying, no, Dame is better than Steph, Max Kellerman. Dame is more clutch, da-da-da-da. Like, yes, he's hit a lot of clutch baskets on all that. For some reason, that clutch factor doesn't play into the fact that he's down in a series and he needs to get over a injury littered team in Denver. So I'm trying to be fair, but I'm trying to make sure it's consistent on the board. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. If we're gonna question Steph, question Dame. If we're gonna question this, question that. Like, I understand what we're
so
all saying.
I think that's my issue in terms of when this series is over, because I think Denver gonna win this series. I think for some reason I feel like Nikola Jokic is really that good.
Yeah, I think we have to accept that reality.
Like, he's really.
He's good enough to win this series.
He's the bottom line. Like,
especially because I will say it is a bad matchup because Portland just has nothing to throw at him. So it's a bad matchup on that end. So it's like, yeah, Jokic is just going to have his way here.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of, and this is the thing, like, if you're Dame on the other side and you're being guarded by Campazzo, you have to be able to match that. Like, you have to. If you're the guy that everybody says is the best point, who some people say is the best point guard in the league,
some people
who will say is better than Steph Curry, yep, some and people. All these things,
yeah,
you have to be able to match this. And Dame isn't playing bad at all. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
He's playing pretty well.
I was about to say that.
You don't have that impact.
You want the superstar factor,
and I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing it from Jokic. I'm seeing it from Doncic. Like, I'm not seeing it from Dame. I'm seeing a guy who's really phenomenally talented, who can knock down almost any shot on the court, but like
carrying the weight. It's the load.
It's almost like he doesn't elevate his team. Like I said, was it you, me, and Lee? I sat and I was like, yo, like I said maybe 3-4 months ago, I'm like, yo, this Portland team is one of the most talented teams Dame has ever had. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, it is comparable, not better, not, like I said, how you want to debate what's better and what's not, mm-hmm. but it is comparable to the team Steph took to the finals his first time. Comparable. CJ, Norman Powell, Robert Covington, Nurkic.
You know what I'll say? And I love CJ, just to not be hating. I think this CJ Clay thing, people are putting them in a category where they're acting as if they're close. Like,
I think they are.
I think they're in different tiers.
I think they're close.
I think Clay is hands down, like, arms reach away from being like
two way, one's not. That's all I'm gonna say. About
yeah, that, I think that's the only
six
difference.
Seven. Like, it's
that's,
it's,
that's all I'm gonna say.
But CJ's easily the better scorer,
sure. Yeah, he had the deeper bag, but that only means so much in basketball. Literally, Clay impacts the game way more than CJ.
He does,
and we're talking about it factors and closing out games. We've seen Clay take over big
time. I've seen CJ take over many games
next
to Dame.
Big time playoff games.
I've seen CJ won that semifinal conference round against the Nuggets 2 years ago when Dame was trash.
Never said CJ didn't do some. I'm just comparing. CJ's good.
I also saw Clay choke a lot.
I don't think they're comparable.
I think, like I said, I think they both just give you different things. And I think the difference between, and
yeah,
I've said
they're
this
different players, but I think one gives you, like, I think they're different grades. Like,
I think if CJ was playing with somebody other than Dame, I think his talent and his skill would be maximized different. Like with Klay, his talent was maximized perfectly next to Steph Curry. I don't think Klay is maximized next to Dame. And that's my difference between
the two. I think Klay can play next to Dame.
He can play next to anybody.
I think he can go anywhere and play that
but
two
he
position
won't be
in the
maximized.
League. And I think he will next to Dame.
I don't think so.
That's why I disagree.
I don't think so.
That's why I disagree.
Where?
Okay, my bad.
We're disagreeing already.
So I agree with the fact that Klay and Dame, Klay and CJ are in two different tiers.
Yeah.
It's close,
but it's two different tiers. It's considerable, but it's like there. I see it.
I disagree with the fact that you're saying that Klay can't go anywhere else and be the Klay we've seen. That's where I disagree.
I disagree. But
because there's like
he's
like
the
I said,
perfect
certain,
two guard for today's league.
There's certain players that no matter where they go, they fit. Jrue Holiday.
It's different between once again, I'm Klay saying Thompson. Fit and maximize. Those are two different things. Yes, Klay Thompson fits anywhere. 6'7" sharpshooter, plays defense, fits anywhere in the league.
If you're telling me
prime next to Dame, like
Prime
how,
Klay.
That's still Dame.
Prime Klay can go anywhere. Anywhere in the league, get 20, 22 points a game, shoot 40% from three, and be your best defender on your mob perimeter-wise. Anywhere.
Anywhere.
I don't think that impact means as much with Dame, is my point. Like, his impact doesn't mean as much.
I can say that it might not mean as much as when he was playing for the Warriors, but it will mean more than what CJ was giving Dame. And that's my point. I think Klay next to Dame versus CJ next to Dame are two different looks where I think the majority of the time everybody's looking at it. I'd rather have Dame and Klay because it just is more comparable. It makes more sense to have that bigger guard that can do the two-way defending.
That depends on what your team is. Like, I think, if I had a bad team, let's say if I was the Cleveland Cavaliers right now and I had a pick right now between CJ and Klay to just go into next year with, I'd probably pick CJ.
But the thing is, I'm not talking about bad teams right now. In this specific instance, we were talking about the Warriors and the Blazers.
And this is my point, though. It's all about fitness. Like I said,
always situation in the league.
And that's all I'm saying. Like, Klay fits anywhere. Yes, he'll go anywhere, be a knockdown shooter and a two-way player. But we have to really understand how unique of a situation Golden State was for Klay Thompson.
It's perfect.
It was perfect. With Dame, we're seeing it now. It's just give the ball to Dame on the top of the key, Klay just staying here in the corner. Which, yeah, Klay will hit the shot all day long, but is that really going to be the best version of Klay Thompson?
Now,
if you decided to use Klay like that,
exactly.
And I don't think any comparable NBA coach would just have Klay staying in a corner just because he can't take it off the dribble like CJ. When Klay's the type of person who can get 60 off of four dribbles in a game.
We said that, but that's kind of what Mark Jackson did with him.
A really, really young Klay before both of them exploded. Yes, Steve Kerr added something to it. But now that we've seen Klay, and we were talking about prime Klay versus prime CJ, then we understand what he is and what he can do. If I just put him on a team and I'm ignorant of his abilities, I'm going to throw him in a corner.
I'm also saying it's a Dame thing. Like, that's who Dame is as a player. Like, Dame is not going to play off the ball. He's not going to be willing to let Klay Thompson run off down screens for the entire game. That's not who Dame is.
Here's the thing, and I understand what you're saying. I get it. To keep in mind, Dame's averaging 38 points, 9 assists, 45 from the field, 43 from three, 92% from the free throw line.
He's hooping. It's a problem.
What I think the issue is, what I think the issue is that you assume that because we're just going to plop Klay into this Dame situation, then everything molds around what we've seen from CJ. And I don't agree with that.
How so?
You lost. Did I say something wrong? Okay. I said, so replacing Klay with CJ, Klay will just be CJ, is what you're saying.
I mean,
it'll be just more of the same of what we've seen out of CJ.
I would say it would be different because unlike Dame actually let CJ work with the ball. But once again, their system is, it's ISO ball, it's high pick and roll. There's very little backdoor movement. It's very little off ball.
I think
action.
If you have a player like Klay on that team, the system changes.
But they try, like, they. It's, let's not act like Portland doesn't bring in shooters to try this.
They're not Klay Thompson. That's my whole point. They're not the second greatest shooter of all time.
I guess.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, I wouldn't do that with Klay Thompson.
That's my whole point. I don't think
Dame is changing. Like, I just don't think
if Klay's
Dame
on that team, and if that's what it took to win, if you sat Dame down and said, this is what it takes to win.
I think right now Dame is seeing what he does doesn't win, but he's still doing it.
Because that's the best they're going to get.
I don't think so.
You think they haven't maximized the team they already have. That's how
I don't think
full
he's ever
circle.
Maximized
yeah.
his
so
team.
So this is a Terry Stotts issue, not a Dame issue.
I say it's both. Like, Dame is a superstar, right? Like, he's the one that can go and say, hey, man, we should try something different. Like, we should try maybe letting me run off the ball a little bit more. Maybe we should let Norman Powell run some pick and roll. Maybe we should give
That's
the ball to
criticism.
Nurkic at the elbow
fair
a little
criticism.
Bit. Like, but Dame is very much who he is. He's a high pick and roll point guard who's just going to tell everybody to watch me work. Nothing wrong with that because he's phenomenal at it, but it doesn't win at the highest level.
That's fair criticism.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Now, granted, if I was a coach, would I ever do that to Klay Thompson? Of course not. But if that's what Dame wants to do.
I will say this. Remember when I was talking about Brooklyn and everybody questioned like, oh, what was going to happen? Who's going to dominate the ball? Is Kyrie going to spaz out? They're not going to just be heavy ISO. And I was like, yo, you put three of the most talented people on earth on a team together there and figure it out. They want to be there. I feel like if Dame played next to Klay, they will figure out what was the best way to win for both of them. Because I think they're both that in tune with winning. Like, people are willing to change as long as it's for the betterment of winning. And if your criticism of Dame right now is that he hasn't been changing for winning, which I understand, fair criticism. I would say maybe he doesn't feel pressured as if he's in a situation where this regardless of what he did, we will win more.
Yeah.
So right. I'd rather just play my game. And I'm
it's quite possible, and I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Yeah, because he hasn't said anything close to this, but this is just all hypotheticals if we were going down this road.
Yeah, it's quite possible Dame could be looking at the team and be like, we're good. Mm-hmm. Which is not good enough, and I'm gonna have to do what I gotta do. It's very possible.
But people like Dame, when you get to that high level of competitiveness, you literally go out there thinking you're gonna win every game. You don't ever think we're not good enough.
No. And I think that's why I said I didn't want to put words in his mouth because I didn't want him to assume he's going out there like he expects to.
That's why I was throwing that out there. But you know, he goes out there expecting to win all the time. But
I will say it's. Like I said, I think Dame wants to win. I think Dame is super competitive. I think he's
one of the most competitive people in the league.
More than anybody. But I will say there is a thing as you want to win your way.
And yeah, we talked about that with Chris Paul.
A lot of guys are like that. They want to win their way. And once again, Dame hasn't said anything about this. So like I said, we're speaking of hypotheticals here. But it seems just from watching him the last 5-6 years, like it seems like this is who he wants to be. He wants to try to be, for lack of a better term, the Allen Iverson point guard. With a little bit more help, obviously. And it's just like...
Yeah, CJ and Eric Snow.
Yeah, not at all. Not even close. Not even close. Don't, now, that's two different tiers.
Three different
tiers.
Seven. Or more. So, but just feel like... And I, like I said, I would say it's something akin to kind of like Russell Westbrook a little bit. It's just like, these are guys who just want to do things their way. For better or worse. And they're comfortable with the fact that, hey, it may not work. But it was me. I did it my way.
Fair.
So I don't know. That's where I'm at with.
So that's your favorite.
That's my favorite series so
favorite
far.
Favorite series so far. Real deal, and we ain't really getting into how great Jokic has been playing, bro.
You said who?
I said we ain't really getting into how great Jokic has been playing.
Oh
bro.
Man, that he's seems like, self evident at this point.
He's just ridiculous, man.
I am
like we're literally 2 more years away of him doing this, saying he might be the greatest offensive big man ever. If he does this for 2 more years, like he's in that conversation.
In the conversation. Okay. All right. Okay.
I don't know, man. I could put Kareem is the biggest bucket of all time.
Yeah, but he couldn't pass the ball like this.
Kareem is the biggest bucket of all time.
I'll take the guy who can also get 25 and 10 assists.
I'll take the guy who's in a lot of people's GOAT arguments already.
I feel you.
We'll see. We'll see. That series got a long way to go. 2-1 right now. Yep. They play
tomorrow.
Yep. So, your favorite series, Atlanta? No. You said you had two.
Utah, Memphis, and Atlanta, and the Knicks. Yeah.
My favorite series. It's got to be the Clippers in Dallas, man.
Oh, you went petty.
It's not petty. Luka looking like a newfound GOAT, man.
No, he's not. He's looking like Luka. He's just looking like Luka, and we all just get amazed when we realize Luka's Luka.
I'm not amazed. I said this 2 years ago.
Luka is looking so dominant, bro. And
the Clippers aren't playing any defense, bro.
That's true.
They're not playing a lick of defense.
But my question is why? And these are the things that no NBA team in the playoffs comes into a series not looking to kill. Not even the Clippers. When you tip the ball off, you looking to go put in work. But something happens in the midst, and we've all played basketball. We've all seen a guy, right? One guy. For me, it was Kenny Williams, went to UNC. We've all seen
Chad Frazier.
We've all UAB. Seen a guy that once he started hooping, it kind of changed the disposition of everybody else. It kind of made everybody else kind of readjust and realign themselves. And for some reason, Luka Doncic is doing that to Kawhi Leonard, to Paul George, to Marcus Morris.
He's controlling the game.
To Ty Lue, to Dorian Finney-Smith. He's done it to everybody in the arena. He's done it to everybody.
The announcers.
He has completely changed the disposition of this series.
Cheerleaders.
Like, he is
concessions.
Like he has changed it all.
Baffled,
and it's amazing. It's cool to watch because, like for me, I didn't get to grow up to see what is going on.
I don't know, bro.
My bad, Siri. I didn't get to go to see Jordan hoop. Like we didn't get to see Jordan live in his prime. We had to watch the reruns and the tape. And, we've all watched all the Jordan series. And, I haven't been to a Kobe playoffs live, so we've watched that on TV and we've witnessed that. Mm-hmm. But to witness that with a guy who's 22?
22.
is unreal. And I love to see it. I love to see it. This is more about Luka than it is about the Clippers doing what they're doing. And I know that's a storyline all in itself. Like, I understand that. But Luka Doncic has been so spectacular.
Big up.
So efficient. Like, we went into this series saying, like, I don't know if he's going to be able to hit. I was talking to people online playing 2K. I'm like, hey, what the Clippers got to do is let Luka shoot and keep him out the lane, keep him out the paint. First game, he's knocking down threes everywhere. I'm like, fam, what are we supposed to do with this kid? All of a sudden, he wakes up and he's dropping 30 balls.
Pray.
Like, it's really, really bad. And to see everyone kind of change and the energy change and shift to him on the court is unreal. It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch, man. And I know we can go further off this whole Clippers talk in terms of why the Clippers down 0-2? Is Luka Doncic really their Achilles heel, not LeBron James? Like, it's a whole slew of conversation we can go with this. But it's fun, man. It's fun. I really ain't got nothing else after that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you construct a team to specifically beat one team, and then you run into another team.
I can't go with you on
that. I felt like that's how the Clippers went. The Clippers were looking to get the other LA team out in the Lakers, and then all of a sudden you run into one of the, I don't even know what to call this Mavericks team.
And you know what's
offensive just juggernaut just stuff.
And you know what's funny? Now, I don't believe we
no, had it's not just Luka. It's not just Luka.
Hey, I respect Tim Hardaway.
You know what you said about Luka? I respect Chris.
But Luka carrying. That's what I mean. It's not just Ja. I mean,
guys are hitting shots, but the reason they're open is because Luka.
You're gonna say that about like every star player on the team.
The reason I can't go with you on this, like, yes, they obviously always look ahead to the Lakers because that's just, it is what it is. That's their quote-unquote, their rivalry that doesn't really exist. But that was the excuse last year. Last year when we got to the bubble and we all sat here and had conversations, and I remember saying, Luka's going to get his. That was last year. And we also sat here and said, hey, if Kristaps don't get hurt, they would have been in trouble last year.
Yeah.
And then you
tank.
They
got cheated that one game.
And then you tank this year to get this matchup. Was there nobody in that locker room? You know what I'm
allegedly.
Talking?
Whoa.
You can
allegedly.
Say what you want.
Allegedly. Who tanked, told you, Brian? Who told you?
They tanked for this matchup.
No, we need facts.
No, you tanked for this matchup.
I need sources.
You tanked for this matchup. And there was nobody in that organization that was kind of like, what was the trainer for Apollo and Rocky 2? Hey, we did everything we could.
You talking about Mickey, bro?
No, not Mickey. It was Apollo's trainer.
Oh, fam.
Bro,
I don't
he was getting
that.
Ready to fight Rocky again. And they was like, yo, I saw that man take a beating.
That's such an obscure reference.
That's one of the best things in Rocky 2. That's one of the best things in Rocky 2. Because that man looked him in his eye. He was like, yo, why do you want to fight him again? You beat that man with everything you had, and he kept coming back. That's Luka. Y'all beat the brakes off of him. You stepped on his ankle. Y'all fouled him. You tried to hurt him, and he gave y'all 30-point triple-doubles. And y'all wanted him again?
Yeah.
And then y'all upset because he's looking y'all in your face like, y'all really thought y'all could stop me? Yes. I was embarrassing you last year.
You know what? Clippers in six. Clippers in six.
And you know what's wild? I still think the Clippers could win the series. I really do. But like, it's just funny watching how this works for them. Because they clearly don't get it. They don't get it.
I don't get it. I don't get what they don't get, honestly. If they don't get something, I don't get what they supposed to be getting. They confusing me too.
It's hilarious to watch. It's hilarious to watch because
it's confusing. I stopped laughing. I was just more mad that, like, I don't understand why they don't do the things that's so obvious that they should be trying to do.
You know what's funny? It's like, you've been on Twitter during these games, right?
For sure.
Y'all been checking on Twitter. I've been checking on Twitter.
For sure.
A lot of people are tweeting like the mom in the stands. Why don't somebody check him? Why don't why does he keep scoring all the points? That's
funny. And I mean, yeah.
Somebody get 77.
Kawhi, guard him, guard him. And they're like,
Coach, you got to change.
I'm trying.
Change the game plan.
Like, they don't understand. They're putting Kawhi in so many ball screens just to get that Marcus Morris switch, just to get all those switch, just to get that Pat Bev switch.
You're too little.
They like, it does not matter. Like, for some reason, they just can't figure out Luka Doncic. And it's funny because, like I said, people on Twitter, people everywhere are ignorant to the fact that, oh, because he's not this super athletic, and he's still an athletic guy. Like, he's,
of course,
like, this super athletic, jump out the gym hooper. Then it's like, oh, no, Kawhi shouldn't have this problem. Paul George shouldn't have this problem. I'm like, fam, y'all don't understand the nuances that's going into what this, the ball fakes, the step backs, the off balance, the off speed dribbles. Like, he's everywhere. He made one play.
Go ahead, my fault.
He made one play. He gets the screen, beats him, and he's going slow-mo to the rim. And then he's looking at the wing, but he no looks it to the corner, wide open Hardaway Jr. 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, bro, if they don't, he's out here playing like his pickup.
Bro, when your bag is infinite, that's how it looks.
He's out here playing like his pickup right now. He's moving that smooth. Like, it's
because he's controlling the game. It's kind of like this thing I learned. It's funny. I was watching, it was some anime, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fight scene coming up, and they were doing trainings or whatever. But he was saying, I think it was Naruto, and he was saying, on like your 37th move, I'm gonna make you do this. So they start fighting, and then on the 37th move, he made him do a certain move. And he was like, how did you do that? And he was like, because from the start of the fight, I was controlling and making sure that you were going to do what I wanted you to do this whole time. I thought that far down the line. That's how Luka plays offense.
Chestnut checkers.
It's, I'm going to do this, man. Expecting you to do this. So he's thinking on 1,000 layers.
It's scary because it's LeBron-like. Like, I don't give LeBron a ton of credit for a lot of things. I don't. But I will always say LeBron's IQ and his willingness to control a game. Granted, I say he over-controls sometimes, but yo, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
That's where Luka's at right now. And it's scary because he's 22. And Dallas has surrounded him with the perfect type of team where it's like, oh no, we can always have at least three great shooters on the floor. Maybe four, depending on what lineup we got in. And we'll always have a lob threat. And Luka's just like, all right, cool. High pick and roll. I'm going to get my mismatch. I'm going to beat my mismatch. And y'all got to make a decision. Am I getting 50 tonight or am I getting a 30-point triple-double? Which one is it? And right now, the Clippers have no answer. The answer not should 50. Be.
That's what they're saying, not 50.
They're saying not 50. The answer should be, at some point, somehow, some way, I'm sorry, Kawhi and PG, I get it. They're running you through a lot of ball screens. But y'all ain't fighting through a lot of these ball screens either. I don't know if that's y'all game plan or what. But somebody just got to say, lump it, I'm fighting over the top. It's mano-a-mano, whatever happens, happens. And yes, Luka going to get his, but we got to do something that makes him uncomfortable, like at some point. And I don't know if you can anymore because their confidence is just through the roof.
Yeah.
But you got to try.
It's something that I've seen specifically if you're talking about a box of one-on.
You can't box one. They got too many shooters.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Just
live with it.
Somebody else got to control this game.
They're going to shoot you out of that in 3 possessions.
Exactly.
Nah,
Kristaps gonna pull one from the logo.
I'll take my chances.
What I can say with those kind of talents, because what I have seen in the Hawks series as well is the way Reggie Bullock has just been pressing up on Trae Young,
mm-hmm.
and we've seen it. But when you're that much of an offensive threat, it's nothing. As soon as you get the ball, it's nothing to just reset and control the game again. So
right.
And you don't want Kawhi or PG expending that much effort. I'm not sure what the Clippers should do. Actually, I got to sit down and rethink and reevaluate this. But the effort hasn't been there as it should have. Should be.
My only, like I said, yes. In most situations, you would not want Kawhi and PG to exert that type of energy.
But well, down 0-2, now you're
down. You're down 0-2, so you don't have a choice anymore.
Right.
But also, this is kind of the thing with. It was kind of the debate between Kawhi and LeBron for a second. It was also the debate between Kobe and LeBron for a second. If we remember this, LeBron's the guy who controls a game. He's the game manager. He sets everybody up. He runs the show. And Kobe's the ultimate assassin. He's the scorer. Get him the ball in his spots. And when the time comes, he's locking you up one-on-one.
Yeah.
If Kawhi wants to take that mantle, if you want to be the best player in the world, this is the moment to show it. Because he's not Luka. He's not LeBron. He's not controlling the game at the top of the key. He's a scorer who we also credit as being the best wing defender in the league at one point. Yeah. That's what you do. And if you're telling me you can't do it, you're not the best player in the world.
Well, he's not the best player in the world, but I understand what you're saying. If that's your if that's who you are, you have to embrace that personality fully. I had this conversation with Leek, and we both said, like, yeah, he should be at least a point of attack on the defensive end where you just have him on Luka. You do fight over those screens, but it's the effort. It's the effort. They have to get the effort. But down 0-2, you don't have any other choice now.
Facts.
Right. Right, because now we're dealing with a situation where I get to ask my question. And this also pertains to the Miami Heat, but okay. Since we're with the Clippers first, they lose this series. Are we looking at the Clippers as a fraudulent situation?
Fraudulent what?
They came together assuming they were going to be this championship contending team. And
y'all assume that.
No, I think the world did. The vast majority of everybody assumed they would be.
I'll speak more for myself, but I mean, I got you. Most people would say that.
Well, you didn't think they were going to get bounced.
Championship contending means they were going to at least get to the conference finals.
And at least one.
I thought they were. But I also said they could lose. I thought they could lose early, too. I remember saying that multiple times last year.
Here we go.
Anything could happen.
I specifically remember saying, yo, Dallas is going to give them a problem in the playoffs. And y'all were like, no, that's crazy. And I was like, Denver's going to give them a problem in the playoffs. And Leek was like, no, that's crazy. And I'm like, all right. And they lost.
They lose this series. Are they frauds?
Are they frauds?
Are they frauds?
I mean, you have to be. You're a team that had championship aspirations.
I don't think a lot of people really believed in them. It's hard to be fraudulent when nobody saw you as real. And not to mean the individual players, but you said the Clippers.
Yes, the Clippers.
So, like, who cares what players go to the Clippers? It's a large part of the NBA community that is always going to look at it like it's the Clippers. So they're not going to see them as contending regardless. They vastly underachieve, and I think individually we have to look at them as to what they are. There was a lot of barking about Kawhi being the best player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that should has already been real quiet, but that got to die.
That's real.
Like, PG, we got to start. It's a lot of times where people put categories of, like, not winners. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, and I'm not gonna say PG's not a winner, but like his reputation has been tarnished over the last couple of years, and I think he's a phenomenal talent. But how far can your team go with PG being your number two? Which is crazy because at one point he was the number one fighting in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I think it's weird watching this team.
They're frauds. They were the Vegas favorites last year.
You said what?
They were the Vegas favorites last year.
They were the Vegas favorites?
They were the Vegas favorites last year.
Why did Vegas do that?
Because we all went into that.
Clippers just about win? Everybody
went into that season saying Kawhi's the best player in the world. Yep. He got PG. They got Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. And they're dogs and they're this. We don't act like we had a three-month debate about this.
I was probably saying they weren't going to win then.
I mean,
I was probably believing in the Lakers.
We all had reservations. We all had reservations. Even Leek had some reservations. Like, we all had reservations about the Clippers. We all assumed that the Clippers' reservations would be outweighed by
the team,
the star power.
Yeah.
By Kawhi Leonard being, quote-unquote, best player in the world, and PG being an all-NBA, all-defense wing.
Scotty Paul Grady.
That's what the assumptions we were dealing with. So because we're dealing with those assumptions, and now we're looking at it and say, okay, y'all can't stop one 22-year-old from overseas. Granted, that's a bad white boy, but one 22 white boy from overseas is giving everybody work it's a lot of questions to be out here. Like, okay, who are y'all really? Who are y'all really? Frogs. Y'all. Thank you. Like, that becomes a situation. We've made excuses last year. Oh, well, we were in the bubble. My mental health wasn't the best. Fair. To some, that's fair. I understand. Being in a bubble away from your family for an extended period of time, getting tested every day. The fact that I got tested once, I thought it was disgusting. They had to do that every day. Like,
I just want the record to reflect why Greg thought it was disgusting.
Go ahead, tell him.
It wasn't because it's so deep into your nose. It's because it's the same Q-tip.
For both nostrils?
It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
You're so bougie.
Don't care. It's so disgusting. Bougie. They could have put they could have put a swab on both ends and I could have...
That is the bougies. Literally, it's the same navel...
It does not matter.
Nasal canal. Like, it's all...
When he feels the wet from one nostril in the second nostril...
Gross.
That's the bougiest thing I've ever gross. Heard in my life.
That's such a Greg thing, though.
That's gross. Such a Greg thing.
It's gross. So the fact that he got tested every day while in that bubble.
It's not that bad.
And to have to deal with that, maybe that plays a factor. Cool. All right. I'll pass. Oh, well, Doc Rivers. We didn't run enough.
Well, now it's T-Lou now.
We didn't run enough certain plays.
Not enough pick and rolls for Paul George.
Not pick and rolls. You know, I was spotting up too much. You know, too much.
Hey, don't forget, Montrezl Harrell was a clutch. Clutch spot. Yeah,
like, all right, cool. Cool.
Lemon Pepper Lou, too.
Yeah, Lemon Pepper Lou. He's out getting wings, whatever. So maybe he's not as committed. So let's get him out of here. Where are the excuses now? You got the coaching staff we hyped up before the season. You got Ty Lue, Chauncey Billups. Who else over there? Am I missing somebody?
On the coaching staff?
In terms of who he's gassing. No, I think Jason Kidd's on L.A., so never mind. Yeah, Lakers, excuse me. So,
Brought in Rondo.
Supposed to be coach on the floor. Ty Lue definitely needs to play him a whole lot more over Reggie Jackson. But that's just
start him.
He has to play 25 plus minutes. He has to.
Reggie got like 30 last game. I was like, what did he do those 30 minutes?
Like, he has to play Rondo more. That's a huge step in the right direction.
Got Serge Ibaka. Granted, he's hurt right now.
We gassed up the Serge Ibaka acquisition. Zubac, we gassed up Zubac saying, oh, he's the perfect big for this situation, all that in the third. Like, Morris needed a guy like that, defender, wing, can also hit shots. Where are the excuses now?
There's no excuses.
So we have no choice but to call them. If you're willing to sit here and say that Chris Paul is a loser, we have to be willing to say that these Clippers are fraudulent.
Sure.
It's
just not a big thing to me because did you ever believe in the Clippers in the first place?
I believe they were a Western Conference Finals team.
I did too. Remember, but I wasn't disappointed. Week? I was not disappointed that they lost last year.
We sat here last week.
And I'm not really that disappointed or surprised they're down 0-2.
We sat here last week. You asked me a question. You said, hey, Greg, who are your top two teams in the Western Conference Finals? And you said, when you think about Utah, do you think they are a top two Western Conference Finals team? I sat here, scratched my head. I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't say anything for two reasons. One, I didn't want to admit that I didn't believe in Utah. And two, the team that I was thinking of with the Clippers, and that was embarrassing. I assumed that it was going to be a Clippers-Lakers conference finals.
We all did. I sat up here a couple weeks ago, and I was like, yo, I really like the moves the Clippers have made. I think they're going in the right direction.
Fool me one time.
And, hey, like, even I... It looks, that's why fool this is funny to me. Because it's just like... This is the
can't
year,
fool me again.
This is the year... This is the year the Clippers actually did the right things. And it's still going to blow up in their face, it looks like. So it's like, last year I was upset about the process and the way they went about it. This year I was like, okay, I'm cool with this. Like, whatever happens, happens now. But it's still just the Clippers.
I mean, yeah. I Clippers and six.
Look, I'm not.
Clippers and six.
Once again, they can still win this series. They can still win this series.
I hope they do.
Like, it's still very much possible.
They, very much so. I think they can definitely win it still.
I hope they do.
I give them a 30% chance of still winning this series.
I like Kawhi, man.
But right now, my heart is saying Dallas in five.
If they win, are they still frauds?
If they win this series.
They got to get to the conference
finals. They got to get to the conference finals. There's no other way around it. You got to lose to LeBron. You got to lose to LeBron.
If not, fraud.
Pretty much.
You got to lose LeBron, and you got to lose to two of the Eastern Conference teams. I'll give you Milwaukee and Brooklyn. I'm not even going to give you Philly. Okay. You got to lose to them three. If not, then I'm looking at y'all funny. Y'all funny. Sorry. All right, Miami Heat. They were our Eastern Conference Final champion.
People don't call them season. Bubble frauds.
Bubble frauds. They had, nobody essentially has shown up for the most part. Maybe Dragic.
Jimmy showed up in the last game. He was the only one that showed
Duncan
up.
Duncan showed up in the first game.
Yeah.
But down 0-3. If I'm right, down 0-3, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. It's raps. Milwaukee. Is this?
It's raps.
Is this a Milwaukee thing or is it a Miami thing?
Oh, it's a Milwaukee thing.
Yeah, I think Milwaukee got better, and Miami didn't really have a year to go into the first round against Milwaukee. Like, they were dealing with injuries, inconsistency in their lineups. It was a lot going on in Miami, especially because they got hit really, really hard by the COVID regulations early on. Yeah. So they never really could get their footing all year. So going into the playoffs, you're going against the Milwaukee Bucks, two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, who's only getting better.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it's going to look like. And he has somebody who you can always rely on in Drew Holiday. And it seems as if Chris Middleton has only gotten better. He's heard all the criticism. He's even stepped it up more. So
he has arrived.
It's fitting. This makes sense. Like, yeah. I'm not going to call the Heat bubble frauds.
Okay.
But I never thought they were going to get past the Bucks this year. Did I call the Bucks winning?
You called the Bucks winning, but yeah, I don't think you said sweep though.
No, I didn't say sweep. I didn't think they were going to get six. Yeah. Hey, I was like, man, I always say the Bucks. And I was like, do I want to go the third year being disappointed? Yep. Yep.
So, this is a Milwaukee thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over Miami in all cases.
I think it's obviously a bit of both. I think more so it's Milwaukee ascending. And
yeah.
I do think Miami definitely took a step back. Like, there's a reason I always say when we talk about the bubble, like, Miami was the perfect example of the bubble helping somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once again, I won't call anything that happened in the bubble fraud or whatever. Like, it was what it was. But I was always that person on the other end that was just like, it's different. Like, it's just, I don't know how to compare this because it's mm-hmm. something that's never been seen or done before. And Miami seemed like the one team that really benefited the most from that. The perfect example, and this is something that is being talked about a lot in Miami right now, is Tyler Herro. Tyler Herro has been bad this entire season.
Should have traded him while he was hot.
Should have.
That's what a lot of people are saying.
But it's more so if you listen to, like I said, if you listen to some of the rumors, some of the way people talk about, they're saying it's not so much his talent, but it's his mentality now. One, like I said, since he blew up in the bubble, he's gotten a little bit more fame behind his name.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a 21-year-old living in Miami.
Yeah.
That's a distraction. I'm sorry. I probably would be distracted. And I'm obsessed with basketball as anybody. You're 21 living by yourself in Miami and a millionaire? That's a good lifestyle.
Yeah.
Instead of, well, now I'm locked into an Orlando bubble with nothing to do but focus on basketball. Yeah. It's a different type of mentality. And I think that's kind of what you're seeing from Miami right now. They took a couple steps back. They got a year older. They lost Jay Crowder. Like, it's little things, but the bubble helped them probably more than any other team. And also, I think it hurt Milwaukee more than any other team because Milwaukee before the bubble was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were clicking on all cylinders. They were going hard. Like, everything seemed like it was coming into place. And then the bubble happens. Well, you get, three months off, and then the bubble happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's not remember when they got to the bubble. Let's not forget what was going on in Milwaukee at that time. Yeah, the whole Black Lives Matter demonstration.
Yeah.
Young man lost his life. Milwaukee was one of the first teams that said, yo, we don't want to be here. Like, we don't want to be here. Look what's going on in our city.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, that's not an excuse because they decided to play, but it's just like, you can't tell me that didn't play a factor in their mindset. Now, you can see Milwaukee's locked in. Mm-hmm. Like, they look like, no, this is it now. We have the team we need. We're ready to go. Let's get this done. And you've heard me. I've been high on Milwaukee all year. Mm-hmm. They've said all year, we're experimenting. We're trying different things. We're doing this. We're trying this just to see what happens. You were like, I don't like that. And I was like, no, you have to do that now because they have to find different schemes. Mm-hmm. And that's really what's throwing Miami off. If you go back and watch game one, the reason Duncan Robinson got all those threes is because Milwaukee played their normal defensive coverage. It was drop coverage with Brook Lopez.
Yep.
Hand off to Duncan Robinson three. The last two games? Nah, bro, we ain't doing that. We're going to try this. We're going to hard hedge it. We're going to switch it. Yeah. We're going to jump out on it. They never did that before. Mm-hmm. But they're doing it now because they recognize we have to adapt. That's a good sign in my book. So Milwaukee ascending, Miami taking a step back. Miami needs to make some moves this offseason. Point blank simple. If they're going to contend with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I think this is more of a Miami thing than a Milwaukee thing. And this is not to say that Milwaukee isn't great. Milwaukee is hooping. Chris Middleton, like you said, is on the rise. He is turning into the perfect number two. Jrue Holiday is exactly what we expected him to be in this situation.
He's so much better than Eric Bledsoe.
Like, answering all the questions that they had with Eric Bledsoe, unfortunately. not to hate on Eric Bledsoe. But Miami has, like you said, the loss of Jay Crowder mm-hmm. is huge. Also, the fact that they are bodied down without Victor Oladipo. Mm-hmm. A healthy Victor Oladipo makes a difference. Do they win this series?
No, we're not saying that, but it's a huge difference.
Yeah. But that makes a difference.
I don't think they'd be down 0-3.
So a body down in Victor Oladipo, who, when healthy, is at this point, a solid guard, still can defend to some level, definitely on the perimeter, plays a huge factor when you talk about matchups. You got Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton, Dante Vincenzo, who just went down. I think he's done for the playoffs.
That hurt.
So now it's going to be a Brent Forbes who's going nuts. like this team is a whole lot deeper than Miami at this point. And it's weighing on Miami. It's weighing on Miami, especially the team that's can be very one-dimensional. If Jimmy isn't explosive, then they're leaning on Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Dragic to make some tough shots.
Yeah.
Some tough ones. Not just shots, tough ones. And then because of the lack of explosiveness, that takes Bam out of the game a little bit offensively.
Yep.
And his hands are full on the other end. You're talking about Giannis. So it's a very different situation. So I think this is more of a Miami thing than a Milwaukee thing. I'm not calling them fraudulent because – much to your point about the Clippers, we don't expect Miami to win a championship.
Nah.
We don't expect Miami to win a championship. And that was not the case going into this season. It wasn't the case going into last season. even at the bubble, we did not expect them to get to these conference finals. We did not expect them to be, you know, competing at any super high level. We expect them to be a headache. But
a tough out.
A tough out. But they haven't been that, and that's due to a lot of things that y'all have already mentioned. So not calling them frauds. But I would like to see them play with a little more fight going into game four. Hopefully they can sneak one extended series, at least for game five.
1-2-3 Cancun.
We'll see.
Clippers in six.
We'll see, man. We'll see. Lakers. Los Angeles Lakers. I'm just sitting next to my two Lakers fans.
Yep.
I've been rooting for Phoenix. I'm not even going to shade it.
Me too.
Rooting for Phoenix.
Really? They need more fans if they think they're going to beat us.
Oh, that's hate. That's hate.
That was hurtful.
That's nasty.
That's another level.
That was hurtful.
This is the West. This is NBA basketball fan. We're talking about we're being fans right now, right?
Dang, Knicks about to get smoked.
Oh, man. Lakers are hitting their stride, so it seems. We've had conversations about Anthony Davis after game one.
Yeah, they say he was out there hooping like J. Cole. I was like, wow, that's crazy. Oh, wait, Brian, you a hater. Hey, you a hater. Cole went to the league. You told him not to chase his dreams.
He went to the what?
And he went to the league.
He went to the what?
The league.
The what?
The league. The league. Basketball African league.
League.
He's a two-sport athlete.
Y'all better get my
opinion. League, you were hated.
Back to the Lakers, because I'm not entertaining this foolishness. I'm not entertaining this.
You better respect the fact he's a two-sport athlete.
I'm not entertaining this.
I'm just saying.
You better respect the fact he's a two-sport athlete.
People can't dream. Look what dreams can become, kids.
I'm not entertaining this.
Go out there and dream. Whatever camera I'm on, go out there and dream.
The Lakers are hitting their stride at the right time. Of course, Phoenix does have some issues, and that's...
That one issue.
That's completely around Chris Paul's shoulder.
He was hooping game one.
Yeah.
And so because of that, it looks like they're going to get out of this series in quick fashion.
Looking five-ish.
But what have y'all taken away from the Lakers in this series? I could gas up the fact that I'm still very, very excited about Phoenix because Cameron Payne and Cameron Johnson showed me something, and I thought that was fun. Mikal Bridges, like
they got a nice young core.
Like yeah. I would love watching them compete and you know play hard, and so I'll just leave that there to get that out the way before we get to the Lakers. But yeah, y'all let me know what y'all think about the Lakers.
I mean, they look like the Lakers.
Yeah,
they look like they're still trying to work themselves back in a rhythm. Like, to me, they haven't had a dominant game yet. They just had a couple of dominant stretches. And I mean, that's all they need right now, especially with Chris Paul being down or being limited, I should say. You're seeing LeBron kind of do what he always does, work himself into the game, work himself into the series, figure out where he can take advantage. AD just had to stay aggressive. Like, I'm still – even as a Laker fan, I still say – watching Laker games is boring to me right now.
You're not the only person that's been saying that.
Like, it's just, they're just so, and granted, they're deep. The only thing I really love about them is their defense, because their defense is just, when they turn it on, it's great to watch. But they don't turn it on a lot. So it's like, you're literally just watching the game, waiting on that 6 minute stretch where they're just, all right, we're the best team in the world and we're going to play like it. And granted, I mean, that's what championship teams do sometimes.
Do you consider them the best team in the world healthy?
Yes.
Until proven otherwise. Until proven otherwise. That's what happens when you're the reigning defensive champs. Like,
okay.
So until somebody knocks them off, I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, but especially on offense, they're like boring to watch because you just know what's gonna happen 9 times out of 10. It's an AD post up or it's a LeBron ISO pick and roll, and they're a battering ram right now. They're literally just beating people's brains in over and over because they still can't shoot. They're still struggling to shoot. They've been struggling to shoot all season. So it's literally just AD and LeBron just overpowering everybody that gets put in front of them. And, hey, it's working.
Thoughts?
That's why I didn't pick that series to be one of my favorites. I knew what it was. It's the Lakers.
So I guess looking at the Lakers – like I said, I believe the series is going to be done in quick fashion. I don't think Phoenix is going to get another game.
I got to see what CP3's shoulder looks like on Sunday. He got an extra day of rest.
I mean, I hope he's healthy.
I hope so.
I hope he's healthy because the game becomes interesting again.
It does.
But if not, then
what would you say? We had talked about it. I said Lakers in 5, and you was like, you don't think Phoenix can get 2? And I was like, it might be Lakers in 6 if – Chris Paul gets one game and D-Book get one game. And I was questioning on whether D-Book could just get a game on his own. Like one of those games where game one was like Chris Paul controlled. Devin Booker doing Devin Booker stuff, but it was like an imprint. We're going to honestly need one of these 40, 45 balls from.
Going to need a D-Book game.
And D-Book's getting his first taste of playoff basketball. And you can see it's
frustrating.
Yeah.
Mister, we don't double team and pick up games. Like you seeing what this is like.
And it's different because unlike some of his counterparts or in younger fashion, they're not such a high seed when they're first. Like Ja Morant is just, you know, his taste of the playoffs right now. He is playing that one seed, but it's not Bron.
Yeah.
It's not AD. It's not the defending champs.
Right.
So now Trey gets to play Julius Randle, like another person who's first time. In terms
playing
of
the Knicks team that hasn't been there before either,
right?
So, but D-Book, you got Bron.
Yeah, you got the defending champs.
Yeah, so your first taste of playoff basketball is gonna hit a little harder.
Yeah,
I think it's necessary for a guy like D-Book.
Definitely
because he's the one who can take it. It's D-Book.
I think
everybody needs their playoff scars,
and I believe
except Luka, but you know,
we'll see because. If they play Utah, I believe that series looks a lot different than what we've seen out of the Clippers. And that's crazy because if we're talking star study, like you said, the Clippers being what they are, I think Utah is definitely going to be a lot more in his jersey. Definitely add some wrinkles.
You talking about Luka right now?
Yeah.
Oh.
You don't think so?
You think Rudy Gobert is going to be any better out there?
You don't think so. In terms of defensively on Luka as a team, it's more of the same.
It's just going to come down to if Luka's making that three or not. Like, that's all it's going to come down to. That's literally what you walk into every – that's what I walk into every series believing right now. If Luka's going to hit 38% of his threes, he's going to do whatever he wants. If he's anything under that, then okay. Yeah, he'll struggle.
Okay. All right, we'll see.
He's going to do what he wants, though.
Lakers are looking at seeing Denver in the next round. I think we're looking at Utah. That's still up in the air. I'm not even going to be on that. But it's surprising in terms of all the teams, everything we've seen in the playoffs thus far. It's been interesting.
So we're not going to talk about the two other Eastern Conference series. Those are just over.
Philly, Washington, I don't care.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Brooklyn, Boston.
That was your boy, so I just want to make sure.
Brooklyn, Boston, I feel bad for Jason Tatum. Yeah, I feel bad for Tatum. Boston, too much going on with Boston this year. Exactly. In terms of injuries, COVID, not really be able to catch their footing. I'm not ready to call Brad Stevens a bad coach.
Like, anybody call him Brad Stevens, y'all need to shut up.
Like, I'm not ready to do that. I'm not, like, Kendrick Perkins is out here saying that Brad Stevens may need to, you know, be replaced because, you know, they're not hearing him, whatever the case may be. I don't think that's the case because he had to ear these guys 2 years ago. He had to ear these guys
the last 4 years.
Like, he had to ear these guys. So, I think it's more so them just not being able to find their footing. But these two series in terms of Brooklyn and Boston and Philly and Washington, the only thing that's been exciting about Philly and Washington is getting to the fact that, and it's disrespectful, is the fact that Philly fans believe they're obligated or entitled because they bought a ticket to disrespect the player by pouring popcorn on him on his way to the locker room. That's the only thing that really matters to me. That's the only real conversation that comes out of the series for me. And since we're on it, fans, I know we are excited. Y'all are excited to be back in the arenas. I get it.
Y'all are disgusting. I'm not gonna say excited. I get excited and I eat popcorn.
Y'all back in the arena, but for the people out here who feel they can spit on play, like, yo, I don't agree with Tristan Thompson a lot, but when Tristan Thompson said, If a man spits on me, if somebody spits on me.
Spitting is instant hands.
Instant.
Like, automatic. Instant. Because that shouldn't, that's intolerable. Like, that's out of control. And so when Russ speaks to the issues of, like, we have to protect the players, and he's been saying this for a long time now.
Because it always happens to him.
For sure. Because for whatever reason, we feel like it's cool. When we villainize a player, it's cool that we can denigrate a player. And that's not the same. That's not the same. Like, yes, do we want to consider Russ the ultimate villain of the league right now? Cool, we can do that. There's guys who embrace that. Like, there's guys who accept that role and they're good at that role. But that does not give anybody the license to denigrate or disrespect me to a place or disrespect these players to where they're like, all right, I got to maintain my composure, but you get to do whatever. You get to wild out. And I told y'all before we went on air, I said, God forbid if Russ got loose.
I would have let him loose if I was the guard.
My
shoes. Let him go.
My shoes not tied.
If Russ got loose, we having Malice in the Palace all over again. Yeah. And the difference is,
I don't think it would have been because there weren't enough fans to back him up.
No, but the difference is,
they were pointing at bro. They were like, it was him.
I think we was just going right to see there. A butt whooping.
And you know what the difference there. Is? Philly ain't fighting for that dude.
Mm-mm.
Nah. The Sixers not fighting for that dude.
Nobody gonna fight.
Nobody him. Jumping in. Like, this ain't Detroit versus Indiana where we actually got guys throwing hands on the floor.
Ooh. They was gonna pull him off after it was over. Like, exactly. Hey, you got your licks and you done? Come on, bro. Don't. All right. Relax. That's enough. It's over.
Yeah. Like, that's what it would have been. So, guys spitting on Trey in New York. Like, Knicks fans, man, y'all make it hard. Y'all make it very, very difficult to like y'all as an organization. Y'all give me Dallas Cowboys vibes.
Sheesh.
It is what it is. I make it very difficult for me to speak highly of the franchise when you got an owner like James Dolan, and then y'all want to spit on people. Now, I know, once again, it's not everybody, but anyone who condones that behavior or the conversations in terms of who is speaking to Ja's parents.
And Dylan Brooks.
And Dylan Brooks. Like, yo, uncalled for. Yes, you back in the arena. Cool. Keep that junk strictly basketball. Keep that junk strictly. That's it. I ain't got nothing else to say, man. Y'all chime in. Am I done? Is this it?
Nah, I mean, you said it. Like, once again, I mean, you know me. I'm very confrontational on the court. Very. Like, I am all for a hostile environment when I go play. But spitting on me, instant hands.
Instant.
Like, throwing something on me while I'm walking out the arena. Like, instant. Like I got to see you. Like, racist comments to my parents. Like, come on. Instant. Like, I said, my thing with that, like, I probably wouldn't be instant on that one. But I would definitely be like, yo, you got one more time.
All instant.
Like, it's all instant for you. Like, I can't lose millions off words. Now, throwing something, spitting on me, I'll lose millions off that.
Instant.
But, like, this is too much. And, like I said, Greg already said it. Fans are excited to be back in the arena. But let's not act like this isn't something that hasn't been escalating.
Right.
It's, and some players have come out and said it. Like I said, I'm kind of in a tendency to agree. The malice in the palace for everything that was wrong with it.
Yeah.
For everything that was wrong with the Mouse about, it was a horrible thing that happened.
Poetic justice, if you ask me. Should
never have happened. I mean, the only thing that would have made it poetic justice if Ron had actually gotten, my fault, Meta, if Meta had actually gotten the person that threw it.
He was Ron Artest that day.
He was Ron Artest that day.
Historically speaking.
That would have made it poetic justice. The problem was he went after the wrong person. But that's a whole different discussion.
Anyone can get it. I can't.
I see red. Anyone can get it. I see red, family. Look, man, it's over at that point. But,
you saw me coming. Run.
But fans, you cannot forget. And I see this all the time in AAU as well. And that's sad to say because I see it with kids as young as 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Where people seem to really forget that the person on the court is a person.
Yeah.
They're not just an athlete. They're not just somebody dribbling a basketball for your entertainment. They're a person first. They are doing this because they love it, for most people.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing that because it's something you enjoy doing. So if I have to come do something I enjoy and hear something off the wall, something racist, or have somebody spit on me, or have somebody think they could even think about putting their hands on me, we have a problem. And that fear that fans used to have of a player coming into the stands, because that was not unknown back in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was very much a thing, yo, a player will come into the stands and set you straight real quick. The fact that fear is now gone, you can now see fans are taking liberties. And that's where you start seeing guys like Russ get frustrated. Start seeing guys like Ja and Dylan Brooks get frustrated. Because, like, hold up. I'm going to risk losing a season, essentially, or risk losing millions of dollars because he spit on me? If we was in the street, I'm suing him for assault and I'm getting my licks in. That's the way that worked. But here I got to act professional. And you got to essentially treat me like a zoo animal. That's essentially what you're doing when you treat somebody like that. You're treating them like they are a zoo animal for your entertainment. You're tapping on the glass. You're like, you're making faces in the glass because you know they can't get at you. And, hey, if that's what you need to do to make yourself feel important in that moment, I would say you probably need a better life. But that's just a whole different discussion.
Yeah.
Does the league need to make, in turn, when I say the league, I mean commissioners. I know certain franchises are doing their due diligence in banning players, lifetime banning players and all that in the third. But does the league need to make a statement or create a policy that stands for the all franchises and say, all right, this is how we're moving forward on this type of behavior with fans? Or should it just be left up to what we've seen thus far in terms of organizations, y'all control the situation?
It's realistically, it's like, what?
Because I'm of the mindset to say, if you get banned from one, you get banned from all at this point.
All the arenas?
Yeah. I'm of the mindset of that.
I would go that route.
That's fair.
Or, like I said, you make it, it's something you can easily put on the ticket, where it's if you do something to harm a player, whether it's spitting, throwing something, like, you're liable to go to jail, essentially. Or, like I said, be sued, whatever the case. However they want to go about it. Mm-hmm. Like, make that, like, no, if you really want to cross that line, just like you would get sued for assault on the street, you're going to get sued for assault in here.
Yeah, the conversation Leek and I had centered around that, I said that's the only way it really slowed down. And I think not only do you prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law, you'll also publicize it. So
exactly.
You make the story to where people are following it. It's like, mm-hmm. They want a trial, or boom, 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 here's the evidence. So you keep bringing it up. You don't hide the fans' identity. Show their faces. Like, mm-hmm. You want to show out like this and disrespect and harm these people in this way, then, yeah, you're going to be exposed. I always hated the fact that their identities were always hidden whenever they did something disgusting like this.
Yeah.
Like, you can't name any of those fans that yelled racist slurs towards the players.
Yeah.
Never seen any of their faces. All I ever hear is, 3 Utah fans said this. 2 Boston fans said that.
Really makes me not want to go to Utah.
Never seen their faces. Never heard their names. It's like, nah, start exposing people, because clearly they want to be shown like this. Like,
yeah.
you don't hide the identity of somebody who's acting like this in public. This wasn't some private mistake where they were confused or inebriated or any other BS excuse you want to say. Like, no, you're in public showing you're behind.
Yeah.
So therefore, like, we'll give you the platform that you want. So, yeah, I say it'll die down real quick if you got prosecuted and embarrassed on a global scale like that, mm-hmm. where the NBA did single you out, you, the individual fan, and let it know that it could be all of y'all if y'all wanted to act like this. Because if the NBA is about protecting their product and protecting their players because they have billions invested into these athletes, then you're going to have to show it.
Mm-hmm.
And while they are on your platform, on your hardwood, wearing your logo,
yeah,
you have to let people know, like, hey, like, this won't be accepted.
Right. So I agree with all of that. I think all that should happen. Protect the players, man. We love this game too much for it to be tainted with moments like these. And I think that's how I see it. Like, the energy in the arenas are awesome. I think I've tweeted like 3 times, like with 3 different games. Like, man, having fans back is so special, so, so huge. But when you start doing things like this, it's like, should have put these guys back in the bubble. God forbid that dude spitting who had his mask down had COVID or something, or any other thing. Middle of a
pandemic.
I mean, like, come on, like.
I got this stranger, he's throwing food on me. He was just eating that.
Right, like.
He was just spitting on me.
Yeah,
like,
that's wild.
Come on, man. So, I'm glad we are starting to open things back up to where fans can, you know, experience and participate in the experience of the game. That matters, but let's do it with some taste. Like, you know, can you get excited? Can you try to talk to them? All that and the third. But no, racial slurs ain't allowed. Spitting ain't allowed. Throwing things ain't allowed. God, like I said, bro, let one of these guys get loose. Y'all gonna have a whole nother hand on y'all, bro. This is a world-class athlete. Y'all not. Half y'all some middle-aged, receding hairline men who ain't seen a gym in weeks, months, years. Do not let them get their hand. Do it for yourself, at least.
Protect yourself.
At least, Keith.
Act like you've been somewhere.
Protect yourself.
No home trainer.
We out of here, man. We out of here. I think we hit on everything. Shout outs.
We got everything?
I think so. I hit everything that I wanted to hit. Just y'all going to say something.
Shout out to my mama.
Shout out to Keith, mama.
Shout out to Miss Tracy. The GOAT.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, man, Ice Trader Gang. again, shout out to everybody who's purchasing using our pre-orders right now. Yep. Cash App is a Minor in Hoops. DM us, of course. I've been interacting with everybody on and off, trying to get these orders right. So just know it's closing.
You're working real hard.
It's hard.
Yeah. They don't know I'm not working as hard as they think. Wow. It's closing June 6th, so please get it together.
June 6th.
Also letting everybody know, if you don't want a shirt, you don't have to donate. Just donate. You don't have to, like, some people are just like, do I have to get a shirt? I'm like, nah, bro, just donate. Like, if you don't have 25 on you, give me 20. 15, 10, 5, 7, 60, 7, however much money you got that you're willing to actually pass down. It's for the black youth of Richmond that we're trying to support. So I appreciate everybody who's appreciating us. That's all I really got on that.
Got anything, B?
No, man. Good. Let's get out of here.
Keith, you good? Yeah. Like I said, man, we appreciate y'all for being here with us. Like, subscribe, comment, rate 5 or 4 stars. Anything below 3, what I tell you. If you got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all, man. We love y'all. As always, eat, sleep, breathe the game.
Did he practice that?
Be safe.
Feel like he did.
We out. I did not practice this.
It was hard.
I feel like he came up with it one night and was like, ooh.
I'm trying. That was hard.
I didn't practice.
That was hard.
I didn't practice.